Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, family movie night. Interrupted by police and guns when a search warrant was served to the wrong house.
Oops.
Leaving a Detroit family terrified. Movie night, mom, fiance, some children, even a nine-month-old little girl present when they hear a bang at the door. That's when Detroit police apparently burst in with guns drawn. The mom, Brittany Weaver, picks up the story from there. Sitting in the living room watching a movie. All of a sudden, we see through the window and hear, "Open the door!" So we move to the back, wondering what's going on. Then they start kicking down the door. As you can see, the next thing you know, they kick open the door and have shotguns with beams on them. I'm thinking one false move and we could get shot. Possibly my children. So I'm just complying. They're saying they had a warrant for the home. They say they've been watching the house for a long time. And the guy they're looking for is very, very dangerous.
We've been watching the house so long, we're at the wrong one.
However, the suspect was not there. It was just Brittany and her fiancé with her children. She recorded most of the interaction, and by the end of the video, Detroit police quickly realized the suspect was not there. Then the tone softened between the family and officers, but nonetheless, they were terrified. When they finally figured out, they were at the wrong block. By the way, the suspect is still at large.
Yeah, he probably saw the cops down the street. I'm just curious, how much time do you get from the time the cops say, cops open the door, and then they kick it open? Because every video I've seen, basically they say, open the door. And before any human being has a reasonable chance of doing that, your door's blown open. Right? Open the door. Boom! And then it's open. Like, well, I was going to, fellas. Just give me a second.
Does it matter if they have a search warrant or not?
What do you mean?
Like, maybe if I just suspect Miles is doing something and I'm a cop and I gotta, like, knock a few times. I feel like if they have that search warrant in hand, then you're right. Like, a lot of times they're just in there.
Which is
fine.
Because
they do no-knock warrant service, too.
Yeah, I would say just, we're going to kick your door open, not, hey, open the door. Because if I'm in the process of walking over to my door, because I hear that you were cops, I will gladly do it. But then your door's kicked open, and now I'm just standing, you know, directly in front. I don't know if now I'm construed as a threat because I'm right behind the door, right?
So when I broke my ankle, I was running, and it was in the afternoon. I can't remember what day it was, but it had to be the weekend because it was during the day. I stepped in a pothole and just basically, I mean, severely sprained my ankle. It was bad. Like, I was having a hard time. I knew right away. Typically, with a sprained ankle, you kind of pop up, and then you try to reassess the situation, and then the swelling starts, and you realize, okay, I messed this thing up. I knew immediately how bad this was based on just the pain. I just assumed I broke it. So the closest house was probably about 200 yards away. So I start hopping and doing my best to just get there, you know?
All right.
Two cars in the driveway, whatever the deal is. They have steps. So there was no handrail on the steps in front of their house because they have like an elevated home.
Yeah.
So I crawl up the steps. Then there's a flat area of a sidewalk.
Always a good look, yeah.
And then I crawl up the porch steps. And I'm knocking on the door, but keep in mind, there's no way for me, the way this porch was. It was kind of like a porch that spans the entire front of the home.
Yeah.
There's just no railing or anything for me to push myself up. So when I knock on the door, I hear someone say, "Who is it?" And it's a woman. And I'm like, "Hey, it's your neighbor. You know, I just sprained my ankle." She's like, "I don't see anyone out there." She was looking through the
peephole
and the door. I'm not there. I'm on the ground. So I'm banging some more, but I'm banging, like, seriously, like, on the bottom of the door.
Yeah.
Finally, she goes and gets her husband. He opens the door, and he looks straight ahead. He's an older gentleman, and I'm like, hey, sorry. I'm pretty sure I just broke my ankle. And by that point in time, I'd already taken my shoe off to assess the
damage. So they can see how bad it is.
I'm trying to see myself. Yeah. I'm just trying to assess the damage. And I said, hey, man, I live like a mile away. I said, I just stepped in a pothole outside. And he's like, oh, I know that pothole. I'm like, I bet you do, because it's, you know,
yeah,
pretty substantial pothole when I fell. He's like, I tried to fill it in with some rocks. And I was like, well, you did. It was just, there was one big rock in there, and it just snapped my ankle in half. But that guy gave me a ride home.
Oh, nice.
All right. Gave me a ride home. Then I went to the hospital. I told the story like a couple weeks ago when a woman called about the same thing. At the Geo Prism, which was a clutch.
Yeah.
And I'd broken my left ankle. And so just putting my foot down on the clutch, I mean, it was excruciating. I basically just had to take my arm and jam my knee down.
Oh, yeah.
And just scream just to be able to put the car in gear. It was absolutely horrible.
But that pain is worth the money that it costs to be in an ambulance.
Oh, then when I get to Arundel General or Arundel Community Hospital, whatever the thing was, so they have a big emergency sign. But a couple weeks before that, they had changed their emergency entrance.
Okay.
But the sign's still up. So when I go to the door has a paper sign that says the emergency room has now been moved to the other side of the hospital, which is problematic.
Yeah.
It's an emergency room. This is a hospital. The hospital's pretty decently sized.
Yeah, yeah.
So at that point in time, I'm like, oh, no. Like, what in the hell? Fortunately, some dude was on the inside.
Okay.
You could still get in the door.
Yeah.
It just wasn't the emergency room. And the guy is there. He's like, hey, man, can I help you? You know, I was like, I just pretty sure I broke my ankle. He's like, dude, I got you. He wheeled me all the way to the other end of the hospital and took me to the ER.
Nice.
So I got a ride to the hospital, and some dude wheeled me down the hallway. I was like, That's living. This is ridiculous. Who or what was on the other side of the door? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I went to college in East Texas, and we used to drive over the border to go to Shreveport, Louisiana, because you could drink when you were 18. So I met this girl there, and she's like, oh, I go to the same college you do. I was like, great. And I said, I'll give you a ride home. So I gave her a ride home. We talked. She's like, oh, I'm single, blah, blah, blah. We kissed, and that was about it, right? And like, okay, cool, I'll see you around. So the next day, you know, it's probably around 11, 12, because I was hungover. I get a knock at my door, and it's my roommate saying, hey, there's somebody here to see you. So it was an above-garage apartment, and he lived in the house. And I walked downstairs, and there's this big guy with a cowboy hat on, probably about 6'2", standing there with this younger kid who I recognized. And he goes, hey, heard you made out with my girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, yeah. And I said, I'm sorry, what? He goes, yeah, you gave my girlfriend a ride home last night and heard you made out with her. I said, look, man, we talked. She told me she was single. That's what she told me. He's like, we're together, whatever he said. I'm like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. That's what she told me. I'm sorry. And, like, we just kept going back and forth and back and forth. And then this kid that was with him, I recognized it was an ex-girlfriend's younger brother. So the guy he's with, he goes, hey, cowboy. So cowboy was the guy who came to beat my ass. And he pulls out, this is the only time this has ever happened to me, and this isn't in a sketch neighborhood or anything. He pulls out a gun. And just pulls it out and shows it to me, you know, and goes, hey, you want me to shoot this guy and get it over with? He's like, no. And he tells him to put it away. And the guy was drunk, the big guy. And I finally looked at him. We'd been going back and forth. I'm like, she told me she was single. I don't know what to tell you. That's what she told me. I wouldn't have made out with her if I had known, especially if I'd known it was him.
especially if it's you.
You're right, exactly. And I said, look, dude, I was tired of arguing. I said, let's just get this over with. I said, let's go out in the street. Let's just beat my ass and let's get this over with. And he goes, well, I'm not going to fight you if you're not going to fight back. And I said, dude. Yeah, I was like 160 at the time, and he was probably 215. And I said, dude, I didn't say I wasn't going to fight back, but I'm pretty sure I know what the outcome's going to be.
It just won't seem like it. Work me over.
You know the end of this.
But I promise you I'm fighting. Yeah. So how did he find out? Did his girlfriend, non-girlfriend, tell him, obviously, that you guys are made out?
That's what I assume. She must have. I mean, I don't know how else he would have known. Well, I mean, there could have been other people from, you know, there was could have been other people from the college that told him, but I assume it was her.
So did you ever see this woman again?
I did not, but I saw her around. But unfortunately, so he drove in 4 hours from Oklahoma State University. He was on the football team there.
Of course he was.
Yeah, and so after this happened, he left after I told, you know, said, well, why don't we just get this over with, beat my ass, blah, blah, blah. So then I see him, like, the next day, and he comes back, and he's sober, and he apologized to me, which still I was like, yeah, okay, and I accepted it, but, it, you know, still didn't enjoy the situation, especially the gun thing. And to make matters worse, I guess he wasn't very successful on the football team, so when he didn't make that, he actually wound up going to the same college as I went to as a junior college, so I had to see him quite frequently.
Was he decent to you after that, though?
He was. But, you know, it was one of those things where, like, you know, it was just always kind of odd. Like, who knows? Maybe that he could have been a decent dude. I don't know. But I was just, it was just always odd to be around him after that situation.
I mean, look, it's not that you want to broach the subject with the guy, but I would feel compelled to ask, like, all right, so I said, just take me out to the street and beat my ass. And your response is, I'm not going to fight you if you're not going to fight back. But you're willing to shoot me if I am unarmed. I mean, I'm just saying, like, would we do a duel? Yeah.
Where's the logic?
Right. You won't fight me if I don't fight back, but you will shoot me while I'm unarmed. All right. That's maybe flip those two.
I think that was just his little punk friend way of trying to be cool or whatever. I don't think he had ever had any intention. But, you know, it was at my place. And I mean, I don't want a gun pulled on me or shown to me, I should say, anywhere, much less where I live. So
how was the kiss, by the way?
Oh, it was pretty good.
All right.
There's a lot of it. At least there was that. So
you should have told him, hey, man, I did not know that you guys were dating. Side note, lips of an angel. My God.
Who or what was on the other side of the door? 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah, also, like, dude, if she's getting a ride home from me and is lying about this, like, she's probably been cheating on you a lot.
Oh, guaranteed. Or, like, she's one of those chicks who, like, wants to make a dude angry.
Right, like,
Well, there was a weird thing. In college, if you went out of town, it was just unspoken.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're going, like, your buddy's, he goes to a different school, you go there and party. It didn't matter if it was your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever the deal was. You could just assume at that age that people are going to hook up, regardless if they had a boyfriend or girlfriend or not. It really was. I mean, I that doesn't justify it.
No, but at that age, in that environment, like,
probably saying when that guy's on your, when he's at your front door with a weapon.
Oh yeah,
and he's mad at you. It's look, you could be mad at me. I get it, but like, if she's doing that with me, she's probably doing this a lot.
Oh yeah, in fact, ask Chuck down the hall.
I spell it out for you. Dating a whore. All right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right. You get it now?
Oh, now you're willing to fight me. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope you're using condoms, dude.
Yeah. Football player. Great.
Hello, Gabby. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So me and my fiance were babysitting for my best friend's dog in Renton. And this was a normal occasion. We would probably babysit every month, about a week at a time. She was a big traveler. And one night I'm cooking dinner and we just start hearing screaming on the other side of the apartment, like right next to us. And we're like, what the heck is going on? So, of course, we've never had this happen before. We used to live in an apartment ourselves, and we grab, like, little glass cups like you see in the movies, and we start putting our ears to the wall, and we hear, did you F him, Ashley? Did you F him? And we're like, uh-oh. And we didn't know what to do but just listen. And so when we started hearing it getting more heated, and then we started hearing glass break, and we started hearing her scream, we immediately called the cops, and we just asked to remain anonymous. And because it wasn't our apartment, we didn't want to get my friend Emily in trouble.
Yeah.
But it was, like, unbelievable what we heard. It got to a point where there was, like, three cops at the door next to us.
Now, as you're listening with the glasses intently on this conversation, what is the conclusion that you came to? Did they F Ashley?
Oh, yeah. No. She definitely cheated on the guy. She definitely did, because he was crashing out on the other side. Like, crashing out. He had more than enough proof from the sound of it.
Oh.
Yeah, I see.
How long were you listening to this before he called the cops?
Probably about 10 minutes because it was, I would say between 5 and 10. It was just all of a sudden it started getting louder, and then we heard the glass break, and then immediately she was screaming, so I can only imagine he had her hands on her, but we don't know for sure, so that's why we just were like, that's it, we're calling the cops.
That sucks. Man.
Yeah, that was intense.
Okay, so just real quick, having never done it, if I put a glass up to my ear and listen to the wall, does it actually amplify the sound?
Yes, it does. It really does. But at the same time, it's still muffled. Like, it still sounds like you're underwater. But, no, you can definitely hear it.
And at any point, did you want to yell, hey, say that again? We didn't understand that part.
we were hearing everything that clearly. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Okay. Didn't one of you guys bang on the wrong hotel door someplace and have somebody answer and tell you?
I've done it in Vegas.
Was that you?
It was awful. I was just a floor below mine. And I was convinced it was the right one. I mean, when that guy opens that door, the level of anger, because it's like 3 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And he is just like, you are at the wrong effing door. Like, you bang on it again. And I'm like, right? And, I mean, I'm trying to say sorry, but he is pissed.
Right. Yeah.
And he was a big man. I was like, Jesus Christ. And I mean, but you know those. I mean, the hallways look all
They're identical.
All the same, yeah. But yeah, it was 3 a.m., yeah. That's one time I thought that guy was just going to hit me.
The only thing I did in Vegas, and I did it on purpose.
It's happened to me, too, though.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's happened in my own apartment. Because ours kind of look, they're like, they look all the same. Same thing. It's like 11 o'clock. Some dude barely knocks on my door and then starts jiggling the handle. And I look in there, and it's just a dude, and I go, like, wrong door. And he didn't even say sorry. He just kind of ran upstairs. So I'm guessing he wanted to be one over.
Probably.
Like a building over because they look the same.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's pretty simple. But anytime they look like that and then it's late at night, like you don't want somebody doing it. But you hear these stories. And Vegas is the closest I ever got to me almost doing it.
I made someone angry, but it was intentional. So it's Castle's wedding, and I'm with Batman at this time, and we've been drinking all day. But we're up in my room. We're going to head back down to the casino proper, right? And as we're going down the hall, we hear music coming out of this room, and the door wasn't completely shut. It's a little ajar, and I hear these chicks. So I pull up my shorts, like right below my gooch, you know, so you look as stupid as you possibly can. I take my foot, and I like nudge the door open, and I do like this dance. And I always remember two chicks are sitting on the foot of the bed. The other one's sitting in a chair at a mirror. All of them were putting on their makeup to get dolled up for Vegas. They did not say a word. Right? So the door flies open. I'm doing my stupid dance. Batman's doing his typical laugh in the background. These three chicks look at me. And like in unison, just slowly shake their heads. I mean, to the point I felt really stupid. Right? So no big deal. Whatever. We go down to the casino. We have a good time. I see them the next morning. Now they're in the hall. I'm walking down the hall. And one chick taps her two friends. She's like, that's the dummy. That is what they had nicknamed. That's the dummy. And they kind of smiled, but it wasn't not enough of a smile for me to bring it back up. I just kind of held my head in shame. Like, yeah, I was just drunk being stupid. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's something about three hot chicks just shaking their heads like, ugh.
Yeah, not amusing, dude.
Not at all,
not
dude.
Cool.
There's the dummy.
Like, cool. Who or what was on the other side of the door? 206-803-ROCK.
And like, I'm guessing they're early 20s.
Yeah, probably early to mid-20s. Because my wife even, why did they say that? And I told her. She's like, you're so stupid. I'm like, that's all it was.
Yeah, because now it's not just the dummy, but it's like, am I the old dummy?
I'm an old dummy.
Damn.
I was the old dummy. Yeah, for sure. Hello, Alex. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
Man, I've always wanted to say that. Thanks for doing that for me.
Sure.
I went to school at Baylor in the great Waco, Texas, and very kind of Baptist religious organization. And my freshman year was living in the dorm. So very can't have girls or can't have boys in the other dorm. And, you know, very 1930 of it. And Friday, went out with a girl, had a great time, took her back, snuck her out the next morning. It was pretty fantastic. Thought I'd never see her again. Next day, we're at the football, going to the tailgates, and not an over-exaggeration, over 30 phone calls, maybe 40 to 50 text messages. Every tailgate, we changed tailgate, and there she would be just kind of following us around. And so this lady just would not disappear, and I was getting pretty freaked out about it. And 18 years old, decided not to go out that night because of how creeped out I was by this lady. 2 a.m., my roommate shakes me awake, and he goes, she's here. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, and then I just hear like a banging on the door. this lady screaming kind of muffled, "Alex, I know you're in there. Let me in. And it's like 2 a.m. And, you know, at this point, I'm like, man, if a woman's in here, that's like grounds for expulsion. This university is expensive. Like, you know, it's just kind of like spiraling a little bit. And eventually the three of us decide to let her in with the purpose of getting her out. And she is blacked out, just floppy drunk. And I'm like, man, we can't leave her here. But obviously she can't stay here. Like, what do we do? And so I kick her out. While I'm kicking her out, she's undressing, like taking off cardigan, like whatever it was. And we're fighting to keep her clothes back on because we do not want a naked drunk lady in our room at 2 a.m. while all of us are sober as a priest. And so we finally get her to get out. And I try to go back to sleep. About 3 minutes later, I get a call from a buddy and says, hey, this girl that's been following you around, she's outside just passed out on the concrete. So I go outside, and there she is in a half-dressed state, just laying in the middle of this giant parking lot.
Hello. And of course, hey, Alex, call back, man.
Yeah.
I just want to hear how that ended.
Who or what was on the other side of the door? 206-803-ROCKS. Please.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room.
10 of Rock's most hated songs coming up at 4:30 with Taran Daly and Steve Miggs from the Daily Miggs Morning Show. In the meantime, our question, who or what was on the other side of the door? 206-803-ROCK.
And we have Alex back. Alex, if we remember correctly, you went to Baylor. They're pretty hard on the rules. No boys in the girls' dorm, vice versa. You make out or have sex with the chick. You think it's a one and done. She now gets around to stalking you. She has shown up at your dorm. She is hammered. You're just trying to get her out of there, right? Because you don't want her staying there. Only to find that you hear your roommate tell you, look, man, she's not in our apartment, but she is passed out completely, what, in the parking lot of your dorm?
Yeah. And there's like a four-story parking garage that fed into there. And it was, you know, it was high traffic. People coming back, people leaving. So it was general safety concern. I mean, this was also the time that Baylor was being investigated for the Title IX allegations. So it was like a very top of mind kind of issue. So we were spiraling a little bit. Luckily,
my roommate called his girlfriend who lived in the same dorm that she did. And so together we managed to carry her. At some point she walked back. And it's like a good 20, 25 minute walk. Normally a little bit longer with a drunk sack of potatoes. we were walking and the campus security came by in their golf cart. And I, man, my short life flashed before my eyes right there. I'm like, man, I'm going to jail. I have a drunk woman over my shoulders if we are going through campus at about this time, 2:30 in the morning. Luckily, I had my roommate's girlfriend with me. She was very explaining of the situation. And I was like, hey, if you want to take her, all yours. I have to wash my hands of the situation. They did not. They followed us kind of safely driving as I continued to carry her the whole way, which I thought was kind of a bad move. You know, like, come on, guys. But eventually we get her to the dorm. I leave her at the stairs, go home, try to get some sleep. Doesn't really happen. But the good news is she had left her backpack in my place.
Great.
The night before, and there were three handles of liquor in there.
So
that was a gold mine.
Okay, then. There's your win. Now, did you have to deal with her anymore after all of this?
Yeah, she somehow got a letter under my door, and all it said was, can we still be friends? And after that, I just see kind of her around campus, but no, besides that, it was my roommate's girlfriend, who ended up being a really good friend, made it abundantly clear that we would call the cops if she reached out to me.
Oh,
after that.
Oh, all right, okay.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a friend.
I've never had someone like me that much.
No, not after just sex one time, right. Man.
Magical, whatever you got there.
Uh-huh.
Who or what was on the other side of the door? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Back when I was in the Army, stationed here at Fort Lewis, I was chilling in my barracks with my old baby mama, which shouldn't have been there. Got a knock at the door. Open the door. It's the local barracks bunny. Told so-and-so, hey, the door's for you. As soon as she comes around the corner, she's Spartan kicks that bunny across the hallway out my doorway.
Go. Oh. What do you do in this moment? Do you just close the door and resume or what?
Yes, sir.
That's it.
I was very happy with her reaction.
All right.
Okay.
That's very simple.
Jesus.
Open the door, kick the bunny. All right.
Why? Barracks bunny.
I've never heard that term before.
Neither have I.
But now, I immediately knew what it was.
I've heard buckle bunny.
Buckle bunny. Now we have, what is it, barracks bunny, lot lizard. Does it have to be alliterative? Is that the whole thing?
So, lot lizard. So he kicked the girl he was with?
No, I think he said baby mama ended up kicking barrack bunny out.
Oh.
Right? That's what I heard.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sparta kick.
Sparta.
Just get out of here.
Hello, Wayne. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Anyway, when I was younger, well, like 7 years old, we lived in Southern California. My dad lured a cat from an abandoned house that was next to us. I'd become our cat because we had mice problems because of that abandoned house.
Uh-huh.
Well, she had one litter. They were able to get rid of her, the kittens. Then she had another one, and we were so poor they couldn't afford to get her fixed. So one evening, me and my dad drove the cat and all the kittens out to a orange grove. There's a bunch of orange groves down there in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, don't worry, they'll be fine living out of these farms. And so about four to six months later, I was home on the couch watching TV, and I heard a little noise at the door. And I opened up the door, and there was that damn calico cat.
Oh, he came back.
She found her way home. And we drove, like, I'd say a solid 20 to 30 minutes out, you know, away from home.
Now, were you happy to see this cat or unhappy?
We were happy. They scrounged up the money to get her fixed, and we kept her forever.
All right. Okay, so it was a positive end other than the kittens that got left out in the middle of an orange grove.
Yeah, it was like a Lassie thing or something. It's like, how the hell did you find your way back?
What did you end up naming this cat?
It was a calico cat, so her name was Callie.
All right. Well, it makes sense.
You're in
based on where you live.
Was the cat, like, pissed? Did it realize you had just left it out there?
I don't think cats get mad like that. I think, oh, dude, you completely forgot me out there. But I'm back.
I'm back. Ready for some food, dude.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Spirits and ladies of the night.
Hola.
Hola. So back in the 80s, about 85 or so, a rumor had started that Jehovah's Witnesses thought that the Mr. Ed theme song played backwards was satanic.
Well, that's a well-documented fact, of course.
So I was sitting in the front room watching TV, and our front door barely gets used, and there's a knock on the door. I'm like, what? Who'd be watching? Who'd be knocking on that door? So I opened the door, and they immediately go into their spiel and everything. And my dad had told me about the Mr. Ed theme song thing. And so I'm sitting there looking at him going, what? I had never actually seen him at the door or anything. So they're, you know, going through their whole deal and everything. I'm going, what the heck are you talking about? And the next thing I know, I hear from behind me, a horse is a horse, of course, of course, unless, of course, the horse. And I turn around and I look, and my stepdad, he's dancing around singing the Mr. Ed theme song. I'm like, there's no way. And I turn back around and I look at him, and they're both beet red in the face, and they just walk off. And I'm like, oh, my God, you believe it. It's true. It's true.
So they, as best you could tell, even the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, like, oh, no, yep, he's doing the satanic thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, yeah.
I have never heard that before. No, can you play that song, Mike? This is the Mr. Ed.
Horse is a horse, of course.
I didn't realize that was Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
I vaguely know the song.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Ed.
Yeah, I can see the satanic influence.
Yeah. Wilbur. Well, my ex-wife is Jewish.
Yeah.
So whoever it was would come to the door, she would just go, I'm Jewish. And I mean, it was like kryptonite. It was like garlic for a vampire.
Really? They just roll.
I mean, it's just like you basically just cut off whatever they're going to say. I don't know why.
I used to use the Holy Trinity on them.
What do you mean?
Because I think Mormons don't believe in either like Mary or the Holy Spirit.
Maybe it's
the Holy Spirit. There's something. So if you just stick to that, like, well, I'm down with that. They're just kind of like, all right.
Okay. Yeah. Not that I care. I mean, the last time someone knocked on my door that way, I think I gave them a couple of bottles of water. It was the middle of summer. It was like 85 degrees. Nice. They're wearing slacks and a long sleeve white shirt and, you know, a tie. So I'm like, you guys want some water or something? Like, yeah. I was like, all right, I'll get you a bottle of water.
Yeah,
that was kind of my way of going, like, all right, I'll see you on your way.
I mean, when you're doing I did door-to-door sales for 3 months, right? You'll get it with like the garage people or lawn people, but it is odd when you're knocking on somebody's door, right? Like, it's in your brain. Like, they used to teach us all the time, like, don't open the screen door.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the doorbell and like be a foot or two back, because you don't want to startle them. But then, if you're one of those, if you're a Mormon and you have to go do it, it's tougher because it's religion. At least when I open up and be like, "We got these coupons for Domino's," people are like, "Well, I like pizza."
Yeah, sure, exactly. Yeah. They don't mind hearing your pitch. Now, in the 3 months that you did door to door sales, did you ever like knock on a door and the person who answered the door, you just immediately were creeped out or scared, like, "Oh no,"
yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, yeah, it was PG County. Some people just open the door and just be like, get the F. Like, what are you doing here? You know what I mean?
Good times.
That anger. And you could read it pretty quick.
Problem with the Census Bureau was, most people are not home during the day.
Right.
But your job hours are during the day. And you notate every house you go to, whether you got a response, you know, whatever the deal is, the time that you got there. And knowing that you're going to go back, because some days we just get the day off. Then you start working about 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And you go to 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So you're knocking on these doors where you've been there before to see if anybody's home, because they're probably working.
Right.
And those were the interesting times, I thought, because, you know, whole families would be there like, look, we need 2 minutes. That was what we told. We just need 2 minutes to get this done for the federal government, and we will be out here. And a lot of times people just invite us in, and you'd be standing like in the foyer of the hallway and like,
That's lasagna.
Right.
That's some kind of pasta product. It smells delicious. I get me the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Sometimes, cool kids, whatever. But it's always interesting just being in someone's home who you don't know where all family is present.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
was the weird aspect of the...
Because everyone's looking at you.
Of the night thing. Like, who
I mean,
are these
I didn't grow up eating oxtail. The first time I had oxtail was because some woman invited me and my buddy in, and she was like, "Gug an oxtail." And I just went, "Huh, I've never had oxtail." And she was like, "All right, like, sit down." And she made us a plate.
All right. Okay. How was it?
Delicious.
Yep.
I'd eat it now. I get why it's a thing.
Here's a bizarre one for you. They say for some Nobel Prize winners, the news came with a knock at the door. For others, it was a long-awaited phone call, honoring a discovery made decades ago. Nobel Prizes, they say, are considered among the world's most prestigious honors for achievements in medicine, physics, chemistry, literature, economics, peace. The winners join the pantheon of Nobel laureates?
Laureates.
What does laureates mean? Noblemen?
Basically, it's something you and I have never achieved. You can be a laureate in high school, in college. You know, you're the upper echelon of whatever your specialty is.
That Albert Einstein, Mother Teresa.
There you go.
So five of this year's nine science winners were in the United States when the news broke, and some were fast asleep. Two winners were in Japan, 7 hours ahead of Stockholm. They were awake and working when the call came from a Swedish number. One thought it was a telemarketer. Here's how some of this year's winners found out. A knock at the door. This takes place in Seattle, when Associated Press photographer Lindsay Wasson knocked on the door of Mary E. Brunkow's Seattle home. It was 4 a.m. local time on Monday.
Who does that?
It was the scientist's dog who woke up first. Zelda's barking roused Brunkow's husband, Ross Clockwin. "I don't think he really knew what I was there for." And I said, you know, sir, I think your wife just won the Nobel Prize.
At 4 in the morning, you're done.
Wasson's photographs captured him waking up Brunkow and telling her the life-changing news. She was among three winners sharing the 2025 Medicine Prize. "Don't be ridiculous," she told her husband. But it was true. The trio had, in research dating back for two decades, uncovered a key pathway the body uses to keep the immune system in check, called peripheral immune tolerance.
Yeah, of course.
Experts called the finding critical to understanding autoimmune diseases, type 1 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus, and everything else. But yeah, the knock on the door came at 4 a.m.
Why?
I don't, it's just so weird to me, because it's like, this is not an emergency. This is good news that at whatever time you wake up, you're probably happy to hear it. Mm-hmm. But they're like, "Nah, 4 a.m. Hey, man, you won the Nobel." Like, I would be excited that I won the Nobel Prize or something, but I'd also be super grumpy because you knocked on my door at now, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well, at 4 a.m. to me, like, and look, I get it. People got to get up to go to jobs sometimes.
Sure.
But, like, at 4 a.m. still seems like you're teetering all night. To me, 5 a.m., I go, "All right.
Maybe."
Yes.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't knock on a door, but 4 a.m., I'm just like, you're lucky you didn't get shot.
The following day, two AP photographers headed to Santa Barbara, California, to find physicist John Martinez before the sun rose. His wife, Jean, answered the door and told them to come back later. Martinez needed his sleep. For many years, we would stay up on the night the physics award was announced. At some point, we just decided, that's nuts. We'll figure it out if it's happening. But let's just get our sleep. She had laughing, "I was trying to think how I can introduce this. Like, do you think you should plan a trip to Sweden?" She finally woke her husband up at just before 6 a.m., telling him only that the AP wanted an interview. "I kind of knew the Nobel Prize announcements was this week, so I kind of put two and two together. I opened my computer and looked under the Nobel Prize and saw my picture along with the two AP photographers. So I was kind of in shock. The trio won the physics prize for the research on the weird world of subatomic quantum tunneling, the advancement
it's
of
also
power
a sex move.
Of everyday digital communications and computing." So, just so you know, if you're going to win a Nobel Prize, chances are, if you're on the West Coast, they're going to knock on the door pretty early.
For whatever reason, it just shocks me. You know, it's like you said, Nobel, you consider this prestigious thing, and typically I do not equate prestige with a 4 a.m. wake-up call. Not even a wake-up call. I mean, one thing if they called you, you know, to say, "Hey, you won the Nobel Prize." You're like, "All right, cool." But they're physically at your home.
Yes.
You know, do you invite them? Like, I don't know the protocol at 4 a.m. You're giving me good news. But also it's 4 a.m., so I'm really not in the mood to talk, even if I won the lottery. Like, but you're giving me good news. Now, do I invite you into my home at 4 a.m. for a cup of coffee? Do I just wait for you to finish your spiel, say, hey, thanks, close the door on you?
Hey, I saw some weird crap with the Census Bureau. I saw, at one point in time, the mail slot on the door. A lot of the doors had those.
Yeah.
You know, like early 1900s homes. Mm-hmm. But the mail slot was in the door. When you opened up the slot, you know, you threw the mail in and landed on the floor.
Yeah.
I've seen those lift up very, very slowly.
Well, someone peeking out down.
No, a dog's nose.
Ah, yeah.
I've also seen a cat's arm outside of that as well. As soon as we rang the doorbell.
Cats want to hit everything first.
They just stick their arm out and just start feeling around the door.
So, I mean, like, dogs are a little more cautious. Like, I'm going to sniff what this is. Cats are straight up like, I will kill you if I can find you.
Yeah.
You ever seen, have mail snatched out of your hand from a dog on the other side?
No.
Just, my neighbor would occasionally, our mail would get mixed up. He had the same last name as me, and his address was one different. And the first time I went to his house, I'm like 10 years old, I hear his dog barking. And he lives kind of like, not quite a cornfield, but he has a lawn that is overgrown with corn, for lack of a better term. But I hear this dog barking, and I'm just like, oh, S. It's just roo, roo, roo. So I'm freaking out. I'm panicking, and I'm kind of between his screen and his front door, but there's no shelter. One, the guy was with his dog. So when the guy turned the corner, I felt better. This dog was like the size of a chihuahua. It was not a chihuahua, but this little itty-bitty dog. Picture like, I don't know, if Mini-Me had Shaquille O'Neal's voice, right? It's just not. So this dog just had the deepest voice that freaked me out. But any other time to get the mail, I kind of knew the dog now, so I wasn't sweating it. But he had a mail slot. And I'd open the mail slot, and you could physically feel it get tugged out of your hand by this dog. Every time. Maybe three times that I had to go over there and just open the mail slot. He's already barking. And I mean, just grab the mail, snatch it out of my hand.
Yep.
Like, all right, man.
The hometown I grew up in. I think
there's some dogs, you got to put up a sign because they'll just chew it up, too.
Oh, like, do not put it through the mail slot.
Yeah.
You know, Ted, you
leave it out front. You told me there, like in Belltown, there were a couple of, not speakeasies, but kind of like hidden cocktail bars behind the door. So, at one point in time, this was right before I left my hometown, my buddy and I are on the hunt for drugs. Okay, so we go to where we know.
On the hunt.
We know, we go to where
Ghillie
we.
Ghillie suits, camo, everything on.
We go to where we know his girlfriend works.
All right.
He is typically there. He's there all the time. So we get there like 1 o'clock in the morning. It's one of those nights.
Yeah.
We see Krissa, who is my cousin, same one.
Okay.
And say, hey, where's your boyfriend at? We need to get a hold of him. She's like, he's down at the club. And I was like, the club? I know the city inside now. I know every aspect of this town. She goes, no, you go down by the old Daniels. You'll go down the stairwell in the back of the building right near the parking lot, and you knock on the door. And when you knock on the door, whoever answers, and she told me the name of the guy, she's like, just ask for... I was like, okay, all right, no problem. Knock on the door. The guy opens up the door. Smoke rolls out. There are craps tables. There's poker going on.
Oh, yeah.
There is a bar down there. There is music playing. The whole place is packed. I see three guys that I know that my stepfather knows.
Uh-huh.
All in this room. It's 1:45 in the morning. And they're down there just going, smoking cigars.
Oh, of course.
Drinking.
Yeah.
Playing cards. I had no idea that this hidden world existed underneath this old, you know, department store.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. Like, you walk in there like, I'll be damned. You got to be kidding me.
Did you ever go back as a guest?
No. This was a much older crowd.
Okay.
This was a much older crowd.
They were probably shocked to see you,
which I'm pretty sure has
a
lot to do with
as soon as they looked at him, said, we know why these guys are here.
Well, I think that the boyfriend that I was looking for was there for the same reason I was looking for him.
Ah, okay.
Because he was either getting or dropping off or whatever the hell he was doing. Still to come, Terran Daily, Steve makes the Daily Mix Morning Show. We'll sit and spin. We've got 10 of rock's most hated songs. And your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching in vain.
inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.